Awesome. Adam's introductions. You never know what may happen or come out of his mouth. But hey, it is really awesome to be able to be with you guys and be able to hang out. And it's a joy to be able, if you're kind of new, I'm the lead pastor of South Hills Church. We have several campuses. This is one of them. And it really is awesome to be with you. I got to tell you, Pastor Adam has been, let's see, January, February. I think coming up next weekend will be 3 months that he has been the campus pastor here. And would you do me a favor and show appreciation? That guy's doing an incredible job. And not, we got small groups that are growing, we got serving opportunities, all the beyond our walls stuff we're doing for leaps and bounds and moms that are going through, some single moms are going through tough times, and next week with first responders, just all that stuff led by, at this campus, led by this great leader, and just to see the attendance. I mean, last week was a record-breaking non-holiday attendance, literally record-breaking ever in the history of South Hills, and you guys are killing it under that great leader. So keep up, man. Keep making a difference. Awesome. So hey, we're gonna, a couple things. We're gonna jump into the subject of More or Less Part 2, but I gotta tell you, last night was a big night for me. My daughter put it up on the screen there. She got engaged last night. Wow. That's it. And so, and I want you to take a good look at that other guy. If there's any issues with him, thou shalt not kill does not apply to him. Thou shalt not do whatever you got to do. But so last night we, you know, there was a big surprise, like 20 people hiding, and then they got proposed and we all yelled out surprise. Then all 20 of us went over to the restaurant, had a little food, celebrate. I come back, this is like an hour later, I come back to the house and there are already, not by my daughter, but by my wife, there's already bride magazines laid out everywhere. Ironically, I'm talking about debt today when my wife's about to put us there. So, you ever notice though that when you hear about someone getting engaged or someone getting married, you know, it's kind of a cool thing. Now, if you don't know them, what do you say? Like right now, you're like, oh, that's awesome. But you will not think about it again because it's not your daughter. If it's your daughter, you're thinking about it every minute. See, when you really don't know the person that well, it does, if it's a special moment, it doesn't affect you. But there are some things that even if you don't know the person or the situation, it does affect you. You see, there are acts of generosity and kindness that when we see someone else being blessed, we really like it. Now, for instance, how many have ever watched The Ellen Show and you see her give away some big thing and you're there crying? You know what I'm talking about. Don't act like, oh, I've never done that. Some of you men are just DVR. I gotta watch this thing after work. Or how many remember years ago when Oprah, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. And I'm thinking, I'm not there. Where's my car? We all love those moments when someone going through a hard time, someone facing a difficulty, someone that's doing a lot for the, you know, other people but really needs some help, that someone steps in. Some of you, Ellen Show, Oprah Show, all that, some of you might remember this show. It was on years ago. It was really popular. Check it out. Take a look at it.
Birthday, so happy birthday, Mom. Not only do you get to meet Ty and all the designers, but you get a new house. A week like this is one in a million. You're not gonna get a better week than this.
So this week we've all pitched in. Everyone has come out and helped build you guys a house. And I think you're gonna like it. Would you like to see what's behind this bus?
Yes! Yes.
Let's see it!
Thank you.
was on Sunday nights. How many, now honest, men, how many ever watched an episode and you cried a little bit? I used to watch the Sunday night. I love that show. I would sit there and my eyes would start tearing up. My wife would go, are you crying? I'm like, no, my eyeballs are just getting sweaty. That's all. It's hot. It's July. We love that show. Now, we love those moments. There's something in us that we love generosity. We do. We love watching people that, you know, have gone through a tough time or whatever the situation is to get blessed and get rewarded. We like watching it here. We like watching it at South Hills Church, beyond our walls, helping leaps and bounds, kids that are handicapped or gone through some tragedy in their life. And we did a lot for them. We presented them a $10,000 check and redid some stuff. If you remember a couple months back, a single mom in need of an apartment, and we helped get her into an apartment, a single mom in need of a car, we bought her a car and put it out on Christmas Eve. We love doing generosity. Now, you love it. You look at things like that and you go, yeah, that's the way life's supposed to be. Am I right or wrong? We do. We look at that and go, yeah, that's life. And if you're a Christian today, you jump over and say, that's what the church, by the way, the church is not this building. That's what the church should be. That's what we should be doing. Now, here's the tension. Here's the tension. Okay? The tension is that we have all this desire for generosity. But sometimes we have this struggle that's going on over here in order to make us generous. You know that the very first local church ever created in Acts, look at what it says in Acts, put it on the screen for me. Very first local church ever created, led by the disciple named Peter. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt what they owned was not their own. So they, next two words, say it with me, they what? Everything they had. That was the first local church. They were, listen, this is important. The first local church led by Pastor Peter, which was the disciple, they were more known for their generosity than they were their theology. It was just the way it was. We love generosity. The first local church was about generosity. We love watching moments like we saw on the screen. We think that the church should be that. We should all be that. That's wonderful. That's awesome. Here's the tension. Ready? We all think it's great. We all think generosity is right, and we all think it's an awesome thing, and we want to be beyond generous. Here's the problem. For most of us, not all of us, but for most of us in this room, the problem is we love generosity, but we have this struggle over here for this word that we all hate called debt. Say it out loud with me. What's the ugly word? Debt. So we have this, well, one more time, everybody in the house, what's the ugly word? Debt. Okay, so there's this generosity thing that we want to do, but there's this debt thing that's really hard for us to deal with. And managing that tension and figuring it out. You know, I took some recent statistics just to find out the kind of debt we have. Let's take a look at it. Put it on the screen for me. Okay, did you know the average credit card in debt in America per household is over $15,000 just on credit card? Over $15,000 on average person. That's not car loans, school loans, or mortgages. That's just the credit card. The average American family has 13 separate monthly credit obligations. 13 separate. The average, oh, this one's a nightmare. The average American will pay an estimated how much in interest? Come on, say it with me. $600,000 in interest in their lifetime. The average American will pay $600,000 to banks, which leads me to my next point. Tomorrow morning, we open up South Hills Banking. We're excited about it. Get your loans now. $600,000 in interest. In total, American consumers, are you ready? All of our debt together in America, just consumer debt. Consumer debt is $11.3 trillion. I think it's funny that we make fun of the government for being in debt when we ourselves are in debt. We got some serious issues. Do you know that the Wall Street Journal did a study or did an article a couple weeks ago? And is what, remember in 2008? Remember, how many got affected by the 2008 recession? Come on, lift up your hand. I mean, one out of every six homes in the Inland Empire were in foreclosure. One out of six. It was a horrible time. People lost their homes. Everything was a disaster. You remember 2008. Did you know that Wall Street Journal did a recent article, and they said that big old ugly crash financially in 2008, the horrible foreclosures and all that, 9 years later, we are now more in debt than we were in 2008 personally. You know what they said in the Wall Street? It says this, Americans did not learn their lesson. Did you know that last quarter, 2016, in the last quarter, we hit an all-time record as America. We have more auto loans than we've ever had in our history. $1.3 trillion just in auto loans. Okay, here's the point. We haven't learned our lesson. So we have all this desire for generosity. We think it's the right thing, but we have this tension over here called debt, and it creates a major problem. So we like generosity, but many of us are sitting here going, but I'm in debt. I got problems financially. I love generosity. I love watching the homemaker of a TV show, you know? I think it's great, but I can't exercise generosity because of all this debt. Now, for some of us, it's just because we're very self-absorbed, you know? But for a lot of us, it's the debt. It becomes a big issue in our life. And so there's the tension. Now, Proverbs 22, verse 7. It'll come on the screen. Proverbs 22, verse 7. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is a what? Servant to the who? Look what it says. It says, you and I are slaves and servants to the lenders. The auto loan, the credit card, all of that stuff. We become bonded to that thing. And it feels that bondage. You know, I've shared before that we live down at the beach. And so I surf. I know I'm not very good at it. Actually, probably being humble, I'm going to be going pro next week. And no, some of you laugh. Some of you are like going, kind of new going, is he really? No, he's not. I can barely stand up. But I went surfing a while back, and I think I've told this story before, but I don't think I told the whole story. I was surfing, and I was going out, and their waves were massive, and I had no business being out there. The waves were just, boom, you know, and we live in an area that people love to surf called 204, and so people, boom, you know, and so I go out there. As I'm going out there, you got to go under the wave. Here it comes, and there's this guy coming down, this kid, and he's surfing. I say kid, he's like 22. That's when you know you're getting older, when a kid is 22, but anyway, he's surfing like this, and he's just cutting it up. I'm like, look at this guy. He's cutting it up, and I'm trying to get under as he's coming after me. And as I'm going under the water, my ears are still above the water. I hear him yell out, watch out, old man. That's what he says to me. Watch out, old man. I'm like, you little, you know. And so I'm under the water, and all the water's going over me. But as I'm under the water trying to live, it's going into my mind, did he really say old man to me? I'm the big kahuna, dude. You know, just like, what the heck? And so I got back up, got past that way. I look over and he comes, hey, man, what's up? And I'm like, he did. He said. So I baptized him for about 20 minutes. How does that feel? I get out there and I just got tumbled. You've had that happen. If you've never surfed before, you've got tumbled by a wave, right? And you realize how weak you are when a wave hits you. Boom, you get tumbled. And I got back up, and the board was, my board slipped out, and so it was dragging my foot, and I was like, oh my gosh, I dragged my surfboard back over, but boom, I got hit again. I got hit again. You know what that is? That is a lot like, now listen, that's a lot like debt. Isn't that true? You get slammed with debt, you got all these bills, and then boom, you get slammed with bills, and then the first of the month comes again. Boom, you get slammed with bills, and the first of the month comes again. Boom, you get slammed with bills. That's exactly, and that's what the Bible's saying. God's saying, you're a slave to the lender, man. You're getting yanked, you know, like a leash on a surfboard. You're getting tossed all over the place because you're becoming a slave or a servant to the lender. Now, here's the result. Put it on the screen for me. Check out these results. This is a fact. When you and I live at this pressure of finances, here's what happens. It keeps us from living lives of generosity. You know, God is a generous God. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gives. Give. And it keeps us from generosity. Second thing is, it creates a lot of stress in our life. Now, let's be honest. Not maybe today, but at any time in your life, has money created stress? Come on, don't act like, oh, I'm doing great. The whole world's wonderful. Come on, at some point in your life, you were stressed, okay? Or here's another one. It negatively affects your marriage and your relationships. You know that one out of two marriages will end up in divorce? The top two reasons for getting a divorce, anybody know what they are? Sex issues and money. Money. Always money. Money! No, I'm sorry. No. Sex issues and always money. Always. It always is a major issue in our life. So it's keeping us from being generous. It's causing us to stumble in our relationships, and it's creating a ton of stress. You know that Forbes magazine did a study on the top 400 most wealthiest people in the United States. They asked them the question, how can Americans do better financially? You know that 75% of them said that this was their answer. Hey, when the wealthiest people say something about money, you should probably listen. Here's what they said. They said, simple, get out of debt and stay out of debt. That was it. Get out of debt and stay out of debt, and it'll help you a whole bunch. Now, why do we get in debt? Here's the thing. Go to Genesis chapter 25. You got a Bible? Go to Genesis chapter 25. Why is it that we get into debt? What is the reason? Because the reason for our debt is as old as the Bible. It hasn't changed in years. Here it is. Ready? Now we're going to Genesis chapter 25, very first book in the Bible, verse 24. And when the time came to give birth, Rebecca discovered, what was her name? The woman's name? What did she discover? I got twins here. Now check out the twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. Now let's stop there for a moment. Can you imagine your baby being discovered? Got not a lot of head on, like he has a fur coat on. The guy is a combination between Tom Selleck and Chewbacca. He just got hair everywhere, like T'Chaka. It's a disaster. So he's covered in hair. He's got like a fur coat. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born. Now the second son comes along, hanging on to Esau's heel. It says, so they named him Jacob. Isaac was 6 years old when the twins were born. As the boys grew up, these boys, Esau, firstborn, secondborn, Jacob. That's important. Who is the firstborn? Esau. That's an important part of that. I'll get back to that in a moment. It says, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home, and Rebecca loved Jacob. I love that. Hilarious. The dad loved this one. The mom loved this one. Very healthy. One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, so he's cooking like stew, some soup or whatever, Esau arrives from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, he says, I'm starved. Now, I love how the Bible says he was hungry, but he describes it as starved. How many have ever gone 4 hours without food? You're like, I'm starving. I could literally die. That's how bad it was for poor Esau. He just thought he was going to die. Give me some of that red stew. This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. All right, Jacob replied, but trade me, now here it is, trade me your rights as the firstborn son. Look, I'm dying of starvation. Now he's dying of starvation. The Bible said he was hungry, but he's dying of starvation. And Esau, what good is my birthright to me now? So he doesn't care. Now, stop right there. This is important. Who's the firstborn? What's the dude's name? Esau. Next guy after that is what? Okay, good. Now, he comes and he goes, hey, give me some of your soup. I want a bowl of soup. Let's just call it a bowl of soup. I want a bowl of soup, Jake. And so Jacob says, and well, he says, I tell you what, I'll give you a bowl of soup if you give me your firstborn rights. Now, what does firstborn rights mean? If you are the first son born, which Esau was, you get two major things. Number one, when dad dies, you get all the authority in the family. And when dad dies, you get double the inheritance than anybody else. So here's what Jacob was saying. You want my soup? You can have a bowl of soup, but you got to give me all your future financial inheritance. You're not going to get double. I get the double. You give me your first son's rights. And look at what it says. But Jacob said, first you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights to the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and little stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. And now he showed, what's it say? Contempt for his rights as a firstborn. Contempt means this. He didn't value it. He didn't value his financial future. So he was willing to trade, hold on, a bowl of soup for his financial future. Here's my question to you. What is your bowl of soup that you're trading? Maybe you're saying, maybe not be soup, but it might be, I gotta have that car. I gotta have that boat. You don't know how good I look. I gotta have that motorcycle. I gotta have that clothes. I gotta have that jewelry. I gotta have that technical equipment. I gotta have. Whatever it is, the bigger house that I really need. I'm willing to give up my financial future. I'm willing to pay $600,000 in interest in my lifetime. I'm willing to do all that because I want this bowl of soup right now. Let me tell you something. We all have a bowl of soup at some point in our life. Everybody's got something. Everybody's got something they're going after. Now here, put it on the screen for me. Esau did this and so do we. We ignore the long-term consequences of our short-term cravings. Isn't that true? Forget, oh boy, yeah, I know we're gonna go in debt. I know I'm gonna have to pay, you know, I wanna go on vacation. I put $4,000 for that vacation. I'm gonna end up paying $6,000 for it, but that's okay. It's contempt. We're not valuing it. And so we want that craving now, so we're willing to pay long-term consequences. Esau did it thousands of years ago, and it hasn't changed. Think about it. 2008, wiped out in the recession. Only 9 years later, we're more in debt than we were back then. We didn't learn our lesson. We didn't learn what it is. So we ignore these consequences so that we can have the short-term craving. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you some biblical principles about finances. How many would like to say, I'd like to be debt-free, financially free, I'd like to do better financially? Lift your hand up in the air. The rest of you are lying. And which is next week's message. Like, no, I'm doing fine. I don't care about money. I just love Jesus. I know. We all care about it. Now, here's the thing. I want to give you biblical principles. In a moment, I'm going to give you some Dave Ramsey principles. Dave Ramsey is the one that runs Financial Peace University. If you've not taken it at this church, we offer it 3 or 4 times a year. It is golden information. But understand, you're going to hear some Dave Ramsey stuff, but you know where it really came from? It came from God. Bible has a lot. Do you know there's over 2,000 scriptures on the subject of giving, money, anything to do with finances? Do you know that there's more scriptures on the subject of finances in some form or fashion than there is in heaven and hell combined? Why does God talk a lot about it? Because he loves you, and he knows that it's gonna choke the life out of you, ruin your marriages, and cause you not to live generous lives, when we live like generous lives, we become more like him. It's gonna ruin us. So I wanna give you some biblical principles. This ain't mine, and if you've been to Financial Peace University, you can still know, Chris just stole it from Dave. Well, no, Dave stole it from God. Except for God, for Dave's making a ton of money off it, which makes me mad. But anyway, that's a whole separate subject. So let me tell you something. First is this, okay? Before anything comes on the screen, you gotta lay down two things in your head, ready? Number one, you gotta increase your intensity. If you wanna change your financial future, you've gotta increase your intensity. You know what that means? It means you don't just casually approach your debt. You don't just casually approach the problem. You fix the problem and you go after it like crazy. Years ago, I remember it was a few days before Christmas, and I was at the Galleria Mall, and I went upstairs in like one little, I don't know, some area where you could buy gift certificates. And I went there and stood in line to buy gift certificates, and there was an escalator behind us, and there were thousands of people there. It was Christmas, and I'm like second in line. I'm almost there to buy some gift certificates to give some family members. And all of a sudden, I hear this screaming. I turn around, it's this 8-year-old girl and her dad. And her dad is just, you know, yeah. And the bottom line is, he wanted to go down the escalator, but she was scared to go on escalators for some reason. He wouldn't walk 50 feet to go to the elevator. He wanted her daughter to go down the escalator. So all of a sudden, he drags her, he pulls her, and she grabs the escalator, and she falls down. He grabs her by her foot. They're screaming. He is screaming at her. He wells up and hits her a couple times. She screams again. It's all happening. I'm standing in line, second in line. I turn around, I'm watching them. I'm like, someone's got to jump in because I'm really close. I was being honest. I'm like, someone's going to jump in. There's thousands of people. Nobody's doing anything. And I'm not like some big guy. I'm not like the Karate Kid or anything. And so, you know, I'm like, what? Someone's got to do something. So I charge over there. And he's down there, and he's about to swing up again and slap her again. And she's laying. It was a horrible scene. It really was. And I jumped in there, and I said, hey, you need to stop that. I'll never forget it. He was down like this. He looked up at me. He got up. He's huge. It took about 20 minutes. He got up. I looked at him like, he's not going to stop. And he looked at me. I'll never forget. Never forget. He looked at me. He goes, and what are you going to do about it? And in my mind, I was thinking, I have no idea. I didn't even think we'd get this far. Like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Now, I ended up talking to the guy, and he ended up going into the elevator, and unfortunate girl's got to live with that maniac. But my point was this. Someone looks and says, you can't, there are certain problems you have in life, certain issues you have in life, that you don't just kind of, you know, tiptoe. You got to attack the problem. So, number one, if you want to change your finances to have the God kind of finances, you're going to have to attack your finances with intensity. Say intensity. You can't just be like, oh, I don't know, we'll get around to it. Second thing is this, just real quick, write it down. It won't come off the screen. You got to write this down. Number one, you got to have intensity. Number two, you got to have a strategy. So number one, you have to have what? You got to have what? And the second thing is you have to have a strategy. Now listen to me, this is important. Listen to this phrase. You may have wandered into debt. A little bit on a credit card, a little bit more on a credit card, a little bit more on a credit card. You may have wandered into debt, but you cannot wander out. Does that make sense? You may have wandered into debt, but you can't wander out. You're going to have a strategy. So number one, you got to get intensity. Number two, you got to create a strategy. Okay, and that's what I want to give you this morning. So here we go. Ready? We're going to jump into it. I am going to give you what came from Financial Peace University, but really comes from God's Word. I'm going to give you some stuff that's going to help you right now to get you on track. If you follow this, it will work. Everybody get it? All right. Come on, one more time. Everybody get it? All right, good. Here we go. Number one, write this down. Here we go. Number one, you got to build a debt snowball. What does a debt snowball look like? Well, let me help you out. Okay. That's where you list all your debts, okay, from your biggest to your smallest. Now, here's how it works. You pay all the minimums on your biggest. Follow me. That sounds anti-whatever, but just listen. Pay all your minimums on your biggest. The smallest one, pay everything you can. Sacrifice, turn off the cable bill, do whatever you got to do. Pay off everything you can. Hold on to that minimum one right there. Once that minimum one is paid off, you take that money and you apply it to the second biggest one. And you're going to pay that one off fast. Then once you get that done, you take the minimum you were paying on the third one all that monthly and put it there. Does that make sense? And you just increase and increase. What does is two things. Number one is it puts wins under your belt. And we all need wins under our belt. Feels good when you've got eight credit card or eight debts one way or another, and you get two of them paid off in the next 4 months. That feels good. And then it starts increasing, and it gives you an excitement. It gives you an energy, and you start building it. So you start biggest, go to the smallest, pay off the small one as much as you can, then go to the next one as much as you can, and then you keep paying it off. Now, it's going to take sacrifice, folks. It's going to be turning off cable bills and turning off other things and not going out to eat as much, but I'm telling you, it will be worth it. Build a debt snowball. Number two, write this down. This is important. Number two, start saving. Say it out loud with me. Everybody in the house, start what? Saving. Start saving. Start saving right now. Okay, not when the debt's paid off. Even if it's only 20 a month, 40 a month, 100 a month, whatever you can afford. Start saving. Now, what are you working towards? Write this down. It won't come on the screen. You're working towards an emergency fund. The emergency fund is 3 to 6 months of your income saved. That means if you make $5,000 a month times three, that's anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000 in an emergency fund. You're thinking, I don't really have anything close to that. Well, I know, but if you put a dollar in there, you're a dollar closer. Build an emergency fund. Now, let me help you out. An emergency fund isn't this. Okay, understand. Vegas is not an emergency. It's gonna be for my daughter, because that's where she's gonna get married for $175. But Vegas is not an emergency. So you save 3 to 6 months right now, starting today. You know why? Because 78% of all people will face a financial tragedy every 10 years in their life. Did you hear that? 78% of all people will face a financial tragedy every 10 years. The leaky roof of $6,000, the transmission of $3,500. We all know what that's like, don't we? And then what do? When we don't have the money, out comes the credit card. No. You go to your emergency fund, you pay for that transmission or that leaky roof or whatever it is, then you replenish over time that emergency fund again. But you don't take on the debt. Everybody get it? Start saving now. Third one. Ready? Here we go. Quit borrowing. Now, say it with me out loud. One, two, three. Quit borrowing. I noticed that was more men than women. Some of the women were like, it doesn't taste good in the mouth. Quit barring this. It feels odd. Doesn't even feel Christian to say it. Stop borrowing. No more credit card. No more. Just stop borrowing. Proverbs 22 verse 7 says that we are slaves to the lender. Stop the borrowing process. Don't do that anymore. Okay. Think about it. Car loans are at an all-time high. $1.3 trillion in auto loans throughout America. 15.1% average credit card rate. Stop borrowing. Don't do it. One thing I learned from my dad, construction worker all his life. We were never worth millions, not even close. But I tell you one thing about my dad I learned. If we didn't have it to pay cash, we didn't buy it. You understand? That's one thing I learned from my dad. It was always, no matter what we want, it was going to be cash every single time. You're going to lose in the borrowing game. Listen to me. Put it on the screen for me. You can't beat credit card companies at their own game. You're going to lose every time. You can't win. I remember years ago when our kids were really, really small, we wanted to go. We wanted some, couple things. My kids were like, we need a, they're like 8 years old or 5 years old or something like that. And real small, we want a little pool for the backyard. And my wife wanted something done to the house. And it was like $3,000, $4,000. I'm like, nope. If we want this, then we're going to pay cash for it. That's what we do in our house. So the kids were like, well, how do we do that? And I go, well, we got to start saving. And I go, and we need to have a garage sale. And so we just started doing everything we could to try to get everything we could and sell it. I'll never forget. It was a garage sale, and we started selling stuff so that we could buy it so we wouldn't have to borrow, because we don't want to do that. And I remember it was only like a month before I bought a pair of golf shoes for $100. Brand new pair of shoes, Nike shoes. They were awesome. I loved them. My daughter comes running in. I go into the bathroom. I come back out. She runs in waving a dollar. I sold your shoes. I go, did you? Apparently, we're going in the wrong direction. Okay, here we go. Next one, ready? Sell something and find other revenues of income. Sell something and find other revenues of income. Okay, here's the thing, folks. Listen, this is really good. You might need to sell some things. You might need to sell some things to find some other revenues and find other revenues of income. Now, here's what I mean by selling things. Listen, if you're gonna, what did we say? The very first word. Intensity. Say it with me. What is it? You got to face your debt with intent. That may mean that you got to put some stuff on Craigslist to pay down the debt and start saving now. You may need to put stuff on eBay. Start selling it on eBay. Start selling it on Craigslist. Start selling it at garage sales. You go crazy selling stuff that maybe your kids think they're next. Do whatever you got to do. Kids are like, are we next? Yeah, if you don't clean your room, you're next. Sell like crazy and pay everything down. And then if you got to create some other revenue, create some other revenue. Figure out how to do that so you can apply the money to the debt and start saving now. And it'll work. And here's two more things. Ready? Two more things. We're almost done. Number one is this. The next one is this. Start honoring God with your finances. Listen to me. This is important. I want everybody focused right here. This is really, really important. I realize that in the very beginning of this message, I talked about, hey, we all want generosity, we all love generosity, but we have this debt problem. And I realized you're sitting here going, honor God. Honor God includes the tithe, 10% belongs to God. In our household, if I bring $1,000, then $100 is God, end of stories, it's going to the church, it's going to God, it's going to the work that we're doing. I tithe, and I know that God blessed me back. Okay, and we give to beyond our walls, amazingly. We exercise extreme generosity. But let me tell you something. I know some of you in this place, it's very hard, and I get it. You're like, man, I want to give, but I can't. I want to tithe, but you don't understand. I want to give to beyond. I love what we're doing as a church. I love this church, but you don't understand. And I get it. I really, really do. But I also feel it's my job to be just straight up honest with you, and that is this. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says, God says, get out of debt first and then start honoring me. Get a lot of margin financially in your daily, in your monthly budget, and then start honoring me. God just says, honor me. You go back to Adam and Eve, first two people on the planet. He brought them into the garden. He said, you can eat any of the trees you want, but that one belongs to me. God always had this thing saying, that's mine. This is mine. You can have the 99 other trees, but that 10%, that belongs to me. And man, I'm telling you, it works. And it may be hard for you because you're like, you have no idea my situation. But understand something. Listen. It comes down to trust. Do I really trust him? If you got a lot of margin in your finances, there's not a lot of trust involved until you start giving to a point where you got to trust. Otherwise, there's no trust involved. Listen, trust can only happen in the dark. It can't happen in the light. It's when you have no idea. I can't see. I don't know how this is going to work out, God. I'd have no idea. And God says, just trust me. Just do what I say and trust me. My wife and I have been doing that for 25 years. I am not saying this for, oh, look at Pastor Chris. Not at all. But we started tithing the day we got married. We're tithing before that, but the day we got married. Then we went to 11%, went to 12%, went to 13%, and now we're at 19%. 19% of everything that comes in our house goes right back out. Goes to the church, goes to beyond our walls, goes to the things that we're doing. And we're trying to ever increase that. And I'm not saying that, oh, look at that. No, what I'm saying is we honored him from the very beginning, and we just built it up from there. But in a moment, after I'm done here in just about 3 or 4 more minutes, Pastor Adam's going to come up. He's going to go over this giving challenge card, and we're going to challenge you to give for 90 days and trust God for 90 days and see what happens. And I encourage you to take a strong, uncomfortable step towards that. Last thing I want to share with you is this. Last thing, pray about your finances. I bet the majority of us in here, you don't need to raise your hand, but the majority of us in here do not make it a daily prayer of your finances. Lord, and here's what your prayer could look like. Lord, I've gotten myself into debt, and I'm sorry. It's not right. Now, I don't think it's a, I love what my pastor friend told me. He goes, going in debt is not a sin. It's just not smart. And I'm like, well, that's true. But this is how your prayer is. God, I've blown it. I've blown my money. I'm so sorry. I've done things I shouldn't have done, and I'm sorry. God, I'm gonna start honoring you with my giving. Help me to go after intensity with this debt. God, help me to start saving now. God, I will do my part. I will honor you. I will trust you. And then I know you'll be faithful to do your part. But make it a matter of prayer. Because hear me on this. I don't know where you're at financially, but understand, we all have a heavenly dad. And you know that our dad, ready for this one? Our dad is very, very, very rich. Our dad is loaded. You may not have an earthly dad that's loaded, but you got a heavenly dad that's sickly rich. He is loaded with money. And you know what? He is looking. He's saying, if you will do your part with intensity towards your debt, with intensity out saving, with honoring me, if you will do your part, you watch what I do. Before Pastor Adam comes, I'm going to pray. But listen to this. 3 years ago, a guy comes up to me in the church. I was speaking here on a Sunday. A guy comes up to me, says, hey, man, can I meet with you this week in the office? I said, yeah, I'll be in town on Thursday, blah, blah, blah. So I meet with the guy. He goes to the church here. Matter of fact, he's sitting here in the service. He comes to me, he got a little small family, kids and all that, and says to me, hey, we talked about finances, and I got to tell you about my finances. We're a mess. The man in front of me bawled his head off. I have messed up our finances. We are in debt. We got problems. We got this. He goes, we're not as generous as we want to be. We're not tithing like we should be. We got debt. We got this. We got that. So I said, what kind of debt are we talking about here? And he's, you know, he doesn't got some, I mean, make good income, but average. And it was astronomical debt, tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars in debt. And I said, look, man, I said, all I know is what the Bible says to do. All I know is the principles I've learned. Here's a debt snowball. Went over that. Start saving now. Went over that. And then I got to the hard part with him. I said, you got to start honoring God. Dude, we can't afford to. I said, you can't afford not to. God's the only one that's going to get you out of this mess, so you better start, dude. And so 3 years ago, listen, we're talking about approaching $100,000 in credit card and loan obligations. In 3 years' time, he went from being insanely in debt and all of that to he now is out of debt. He started honoring God right on that day, just like I told him to. He started doing the debt snowball. 3 years later, he's out of debt. He's been honoring God every single week. And he now has 6 months of reserves in a savings account, started all these retirement accounts. He's in a whole different level. He's sitting here today. All because he went back over here and said, I don't know how this is going to work. Trust only happens in the dark, but I'm going to do exactly what God says. And 3 years later, his life has turned around. today is your day. I don't know what level you're going to be talking about. I don't know where you're at, but Pastor Adam's going to challenge you. But here's my challenge to you. I love you guys, and God loves you very much, and he wants you to win financially. And Pastor Adam is going to walk you through a card, and I want to challenge you to be stretched in a way that you've never been stretched financially. You've got to get a little uncomfortable. Pray about your finances. Go after them with intensity. God wants you to win because he loves you so much. Pray with me. And then Pastor Adam's going to come. Close your eyes with me, would you? And let's just get alone with God. And if you are here with your spouse, if you're married, you're here with your spouse, would you just hold hands for a moment? If you're married, you're here with your spouse, would you just hold hands for a moment? And let's just pray. God, I pray for the finances of everybody that calls South Hills their church home at all our campuses. God, I pray that you would help us to win. We know that you want us to win. You don't want us to lose in this area. You've given us a plan. You've given us a strategy. We wandered into debt, and we're not going to wander out until we put into effect the strategy you give us. So, God, first of all, we want to say we're sorry if we've messed up in any area of our finances. We're sorry if we haven't been as generous as we should, God, if we've been pretty retained with our finances. And God, I pray that you would help us to get out of debt. Help us to build a debt snowball. Help us to start saving and have an emergency fund. Help us to start tithing. Help us to start being generous. God, help us to be people, God, that are just financially strong. And God, we give our finances to you, and you want us to win, and today's the day we start that. So I pray a prayer of blessing and covering over everybody called South Hills, their church home, that we would be a church of extravagant generosity, being financially free and debt-free, God, and walking in that freedom because we follow what you said to do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.